Amen. Turn to Romans chapter number 8 as we go into the fourth message of the series entitled Present Blessings. I want to tell you a present blessing I have tonight is to have the Living Hope Baptist Church here with us. And all you folks, I tell you, it thrills my soul that you're here. Amen. Also, you people online, it's good to have you. Like for you to share the service tonight. I think it is going to be an especially good message for your everyday Christian life. How many believe we need help in our everyday Christian life? Amen. But turn to Romans chapter number 8. I'll try not to do a lot of review. I might just say hit the bullet points and then get to where I want to be tonight. Look at verse number 26 of Romans chapter 8. Present blessings is what we're talking about. Not something we're going to get later. I know I'm going to heaven. How many of you know you're going to heaven? That's in the future. We're not there yet. But thank God I got some stuff right now that keeps me going. Amen. But look at this great passage here. Boy, I'll tell you, it's thrilling to preach what I'm going to preach tonight. It said, likewise. That connects you right back to verse 25 when he talked about hope. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I love this next verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now listen to these great, powerful Scripture, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. How many of y'all believe that's great stuff right there? Amen. Amen. Present blessings. We introduced the present blessings in saying that we have access in the freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved tonight, you're no longer in bondage. You've been set free. You're not in the shackles of sin. You've been touched by Almighty God. Then we taught in verses 15 through about 18, that we're adopted into the family. I'm glad I'm in the family. Hey, I'm glad all y'all's in the family with me. And we're joint heirs with Jesus. And we're in the family, been adopted, made adult sons. We're right now able to live for God. Then last week, and I'm moving because I got a lot to give you tonight. We talked about verse 18 through 25, anticipation for the future. Hey, there's going to be a day. How many of y'all like to think there'll be a day when we won't have no burdens? Yes, sir. Somebody help me. Anybody got any burdens tonight? There's going to be a day you ain't got no burdens. Well, that ought to make you happy tonight. There'll be a day where we'll be released from the bondage of this flesh. There'll be a day that your body's going to be redeemed and you're going to get a new one just like Christ. Amen. But here's what I want to preach tonight, and I hope I got your attention. Look at verse 26. Not only do we have access into freedom, we've been adopted into the family. We have an anticipation for the future. But verse 26, we got assistance in the fight. Now, I want to ask all y'all, would y'all help me a little tonight preaching? How many of you Christians realize that you're in a fight? Do you realize you're in a fight? This world's not our home. This culture is totally anti-Christ and anti-God. Our nation is in the root of, it's actually the root of the devil. This world's not our friend. And to be honest with you, we're in a battle every day. You say, why are we in a battle every day? Because you've got two natures. You got this piece of flesh hanging on you, and what dwells in it is no good thing. And you got the Holy Ghost in you, and you got to struggle every day. Somebody help me. Do you realize how much the devil's trying to fight your flesh? If you're saved, you ought to realize it. But I want to tell you something. You're not alone. You got somebody to assist you in the fight. Let me give you a few things here, if you don't mind. Oh, I like it. This section, this actually is my favorite section, the next two sermons. First of all, we got help in prayer. That's what it said. Look what it said. Likewise, also the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We got help in prayer. Lord, when you come and have communion with God, let me ask you something. You online and you in here. How many of you, and be honest, struggle in prayer? Have you ever went to sleep when you started praying? You ever had a bad thought when you were praying? Do you realize the devil knows that prayer changes everything, and he will fight your prayer life more than he'll fight anything in your life? Amen. And if I didn't have somebody assisting me in my prayer, I'd never pray. I'd never get anything from God, because I want you to know I'm in the flesh and I can be selfish and I don't always know what God's will is for my life. Amen. I want you to notice a few things under this thought. First of all, the practice of the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We are, you said, what infirmities? My flesh.
Yes, sir.
My wicked mind.
Yes, sir.
I don't think I'd ever get through to God if it wasn't for Him helping me. Whew. I want you to notice the comparison of the practice. The word likewise. It refers to the previous verses which speak of hope. I want to tell you what, we not only have hope, but we got help. Then the character of the practice. I want you to notice this. The word helpeth means the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. Is aiding the believer when he prays. The word means joint help. It is not help that takes over and does the job alone. Hey, hold a minute. When the Holy Spirit helps you, that doesn't mean He's doing the job alone. He's just in there assisting you in the job. Because He knows you're in a battle. Can I ask you a question? How many in this room have been discouraged with prayer? Have you ever felt like you wouldn't get through? And there's sometimes they won't get through. If you've got sin in your life, they'll never get through. If we've got if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. I want you to know, there have been times in my Christian life that I prayed and it looked like it went up and hit me right back in the head. Amen? See, He comes along and he helps you. Now let's look not only at the practice of the Holy Spirit, look at the praying of the Holy Spirit. This is great. This is, I want all y'all to know something. John Smith gets his prayers answered. You know why? Because I got somebody in there helping me. That I'm yielding to every day. And his name is the Holy Ghost of God, or Holy Spirit of God. Oh, there's so many Christians, they don't have their prayers answered. They get discouraged. They're not functioning properly. You know why? Because prayer is the key to the Christian life. Not only the practice of the Holy Spirit, but the praying. Look what it says. Look at the verse. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, number one, the problem in praying, we know not what we should pray for. How many of you in this room ever got to a place in your life you just didn't even know how to pray? Or what to pray? Amen? I remember we had a man who used to go to church. His name was Auburn Grant. I may remember him. One of the greatest men I ever met. He came into my office. And he said, Preacher Smith, I want you to anoint me and pray over me. And he at that time, had a cancer that big in his belly. That large. They had given him 2 months to live. They had found some kind of experimental drug called interleukin-2. And he was one of 18 candidates for interleukin-2. They still have that procedure. And he asked me to anoint him and pray. When I did that, Jeff, I prayed and I asked him to pray that the Holy Spirit would search the mind of God and that he'd know exactly what you need. Ladies and gentlemen, he went and had interleukin 2 and 17 others. Aubrey got healed of that particular cancer and lived 29 more years. Now, he died of another kind, didn't he, Kay? But he didn't die of that one. Listen, the other 17 that was in the experimental, they all died before a year was up. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. I want you to know something. I believe the Holy Spirit has connection with God. And we prayed. And that thing shrunk down to the size of that little fingernail. And then he had a brain tumor where it had metastasized. And they went in with a laser light and got it out of there. He lived 29 more years helping and loving God. You say, how in the world did that all happen? I'll tell you how it happened. We didn't know how to pray. God, here's the point I wanted to bring around. Now, I don't understand God any more than you understand everything. How many remember, you may not know this name. Anybody here know Ron Rafferty? How many of you did? Well, a few of you. Ron Rafferty, believe it or not, had the same cancer in the same place. And I went up and by the way, I prayed over him and anointed him. He said, I just really don't know what to do. He said, I just don't know. He said, it's hard for me to pray in faith. He said, it's just different. I said, let's just yield to the Holy Spirit. He knows the will of God. And I want you to know something. Both had the same cancer. Aubrey got healed. And you said, but Ron didn't. Yes, he did. He just got healing over there. But I want you to know, Ron Raffer allowed that tribulation for him to be a testimony. To all of us, I'm going to tell you what a great man he was. I still think about him often. And I want you to know I remember joining hands with him that day and praying and that asking the Holy Spirit. And the Holy, here's what I said, Lord, heal him. Or if you don't heal him, Lord, you sustain him. Amen. Boy, I like his preaching. It's helping me. I hope it's helping you. Then I see the passion in praying. Look here. Look at it. Look at the verse. The Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings. That's passion. Shows the earnest of the Spirit in helping us. He groans. Now I've got to teach you something. You people from McDowell County, listen up. Y'all listening? McDowell County, listen. Oh, y'all too. Listen to me. You're living in a county that's filled with Pentecostals. You know what they believe that prayer right there? They believe that's you speaking in tongues when you pray. That's absolutely a doctrine of the devil. It is not true at all. In other, what the Holy Spirit is doing, he is talking in a language that God knows. Because he knows what God's thinking. Somebody ought to say, not talking in tongues. My Bible said tongues ceased. That's not something God's given. Amen. That's confusion. Well, good preaching, Reverend. Then the perception in praying. Look at verse 27. Which cannot be uttered, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. You know what? God searched the heart, and God knows what the Holy Spirit's thinking, and the Holy Spirit thing knows what God the Father's thinking. Somebody say amen. And the Spirit's groaning may be unintelligible to you and to me, but not to God. But listen to this. Then the properness of praying. According to the will of God. Let me ask you something. You ever catch yourself praying out of the will of God? Praying according to our, praying according to our lust. By the way, a lot of times we want certain things that God don't want us to have. Amen. Sometimes our lust gets involved. But the Holy Spirit clears all that out for you. Because he knows the will of God. Is that helping y'all? Dear Lord, it's thrilling me. Then I see the people for praying. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Or he maketh intercession for the saints. Look at me. I don't want to upset you. And I'll probably upset somebody online right now. But you don't have to live on earth for 400 years. And then look back at your track record and see if you deserve to be a saint. And then after 400 years, a pope make you a saint. Ladies and gentlemen, the moment John Smith was saved by the grace of God. I was positionally made a saint. I'm not always saintly, but I am a saint. Amen. And I've got an intercessor in the Holy Ghost interceding for the saints, not just for me, but for all y'all. Am I preaching? You said, I ain't no saint. Yes, you are. Y'all start acting like what you are. Yes, you are. You were declared a saint. You're positionally a saint. Right now. They're not going to examine your works after you've died. and see if you've done certain miracles. No, no, no. When he saved me, he made me a saint. St. John. St. Lance. And I thank St. Denny. Y'all ever thought about this? He makes intercession for every one of you. You said, but where is he? He's in you. He's in you. Making intercession for you. Dear Lord, I'm happy. My preacher. Let me go on. Let's go to the next verse, verse 28. Not only help in my prayer, but hope in my problems. Anybody here got any problems? Anybody in here having struggles? Let's read Romans 8:28. By the way, these are easy verses to read, but hard to live. Let's read it. Will y'all read this one with me? I want you to read it with me, if you would. Let's do it together. For we know. Y'all hear? Let's do it again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. Boy, that thrills my soul. Really what that means, hope in your prayer problems. Here, look at me. It means God has it all under control. Any of y'all ever been like me? Felt like it was all out of control. Come on now. That everything was out of control. But I want you to know something. That's how you think sometimes. But I want all you to know that everything is under His control. Amen. The cognizance of His control. We know. Thank God we know. Thank God. I know that. The character of the control. They all work together for good. I want all y'all to know this. This thing that happened to me, Rich, it ain't good. It hurts. I'm doing a lot better, I tell you what. Brother Briscoe, God bless him, he almost had to be a magician with me. He gets my leg doing good, then my back hurts. Then he gets my back going good, and then my knee hurts. Then he gets my knee going right now, and I got a busted vein right or something right here in my wrist. And that ain't good. But I want all y'all to know something. The accident that happened to your preacher was not a punishment, but was put there by God that He could use it from His glory and my good. Now, I've told this story before, but you look like some of you are hungry, and I thought I'd make you hungrier. Amen? Amen? And I'll just use the same illustration I use all the time. Now, Jeremy, you do a good job making biscuits. Brother Mike's not here, and Dave's not here. Y'all's great. You're not the best, but you're great. The best lives at 7484 Hamlin Road. Her name's Marguerite. She's right back there. Meanest woman in Putnam County. But I want you to know something. I don't know if you've ever had one of her cat heads biscuits. She fixes them perfect. They're real fluffy and nice on the inside and brown on the outside. And then you get that real butter and put them in it. And dear God, it'll make your tongue will slap your head open. But I'm going to tell you all something. One day I went out there and just thought I'd watch my wife do it. So she got all them ingredients. And I'll tell you what, I made my mind up. I was going to taste them all. She put some kind of, I don't know, maybe it was lard. I don't know what she put in it. Buttermilk, and I hate buttermilk. And honestly, I hated about everything she put in it by just tasting it. But once she put it in the fire and cooked it and brought in, not margarine, it's of the devil, real butter. And I put that real butter in there. And girls, I hope y'all learn how to cook one of these days, you five are. And looks like you ate. Don't know much about that, do you? Miss Margarita will teach you for free. Well, I don't know if it'll be free. I may charge you. I put that real butter in there, and I start eating that biscuit, and that butter comes here, and I lap it up. Oh, here's what I'm trying to tell you. The ingredients are not always good, but once they are put together, they make something special. And whether I like this or not, I have a little hurt in my life, then I'll have a little joy. I'll have some pain, and then I'll have some pleasure. And God takes it all and mixes it up. And when the finished product comes, it's perfect. And that's why it all works together for good. He didn't say everything was good. He just said everything works together for good. Now listen to this. Let me go on. I better get ready to climb off of this. This is good. The conditions for the control. To them who are the called according to His purpose. First of all, to them that love the Lord. I want you to look at me. If you're in here and says you're saved, but you don't love God, it ain't working out for your good. You don't love God? No. I'll tell you what's going to happen to you when you don't love God. You're going to get something painful come to your life, and the first thing you're going to do is blame God. Why'd that happen? Why'd that happen? Yes. See, but if you love God, yep, you would know that He'll not let anything come on you that won't help you. And then you're led by God. To whom who are called according to His purpose. I want you to know something. I decided something when I got saved, and I was just going to follow Him. I was going to let Him lead me. And can I tell you, church, in my 49 years, Rich, of being saved, God has never led me wrong. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes. Have I made a few choices that are wrong? Yes. And you have too. Amen. But He's never led me wrong. Amen. And I want y'all to know, and I'm done. I won't get to the, I'll just include 29, 30 next week. I want y'all to know something. This is awesome what I'm about to say. And I pastored y'all almost 44 years. And I've had probably 9 occasions where I didn't understand what was going on. And honestly, didn't know if He understood. But He did and I didn't. But I want all y'all, they were difficult occasions. Right from the start of my ministry here. Paul, you know we didn't have much of a honeymoon. You remember that first trial we had? I come down your house. We had to pray together that night. You remember? It was a distasteful night, wasn't it? It was a night when it shouldn't have been. I went down. Paul helped me and I helped him that night. And he's always been my friend. And we came back and we backstepped. We just redone the whole situation the next week. And it flew like a kite. Are y'all looking at me?
Amen.
All I need to do is get led by God. I just wasn't ready for the situation. But in a week, I was ready. And God took it. And by the way, we got an activity building up there. Because I was led by God. We got a building up there was built because I led by God. We got this building because I led by God. That building out there because I led by God. That land over on side because I led by God. That field over there that one day is going to be used for something great because I led by God. And by the way, some of those wasn't always easy. And there's always somebody that don't understand what God's doing. But as long as you know and you're connected to Him, all of it's going to be all right. Am I preaching? And we need not to listen to some negative person that don't have much air in his head. And think they count for anything. There'll be always somebody say something negative. I had it when I start. You say, you've been there 44 years, you ain't got it anymore. Yeah, people still crazy as they used to be. I want you to know something. They don't affect me near as much. Because I know everything's working for my good and His glory. Bow your head. How many in this room right now would be honest that you struggle in your prayer life? Raise your hands. They pray for me. Yes. How many in this room feel like sometimes everything's out of control and you just don't know what you're doing sometimes? Raise your hand. Sure, I'm raising mine. I want you to know something. Maybe you just need to come around and pray. How many in this room saved? Raise your hand. Amen. How many's not saved, but boy, you like to have a God like that in your life. They'll take care of everything. You've never been saved, but you know He died and He was buried and rose again. And you'd like to be a Christian. And you don't want to die and go to hell. How many just not saved, just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. This won't save you. I just want to pray for you. God bless that hand. Somebody, just a little. God bless you tonight. And you that are not saved, God's got a big plan for you. Stand with me. If God spoke to you in this service, will you come around the altar and pray?